I'd call the House Transportation Committee to order. Today is Tuesday, March 26th. Members present, the time is 1:05 p.m. Members present today are Representative Tallarico, Representative Story, Representative Rasmussen, Representative Drummond, myself, Chair Wool. We have a quorum to conduct business. I'd like to thank Madison Truitt, the moderator, Julia Bushman, recording secretary, and committee staff, Ann Ritgers, who's standing over there. Any communication with committee members should go through Ann. We're hearing one bill today, HB 23, an act relating to registration fees for snowmobiles and off-highway vehicles, sponsored by Representative Newman. First hearing of this bill is today. I'd like to invite Representative Newman, his staff, William Gamble, up to the table. And for the listening public, please identify yourself and your affiliation before you proceed. We have invited testimony. We have call-in testimony. So should be a fun day. Representative Newman, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon. Chair Wolf, it's been a couple of years since I've done this, and members. For the record, my name is Mark Newman, House District 8. I am the sponsor of House Bill 23. Thank you for hearing House Bill 23 today. As many of you know, I can talk for a long time, especially when it comes to snow goes. So with that, I have my staff here, Bill Gamble. I'd like to introduce. He's been working on this bill, and we'll present the bill to the committee for the pleasure of the committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Gamble.
Through the chair.
Yep.
For the record, my name is William Gamble, staff to Representative Newman. Good afternoon, Chair Wool and committee members. I'm here today to provide information to the committee on House Bill 23, an act relating to registration fees for snowmobiles and off-highway vehicles. In addition to Representative Newman and myself, also in the room to help answer questions is Ricky Geese, Director, Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation. And I believe that's it. I had expected somebody else, but they are not here. So I'll proceed. Also, we were supposed to have invited testimony, but there's been some coordination mistake there, so it looks like everybody's going to call in under public testimony and not we won't have invited testimony.
Okay.
All right. It is the intent of House Bill 23 to raise registration fees for snowmobiles to increase receipts to the DMV to fund Snowmobiles Trails Grant Program that has seen an annual decrease in funding over the last several years. The current version of House Bill 23 is the sponsor substitute, version LS0267M. The change made by the sponsor substitute is to remove the three-year sunset language that was in the original version of HB 23, version LS0267A, which would have repealed the increase in snowmobile registration fees effective July 1st, 2022.
I'd like to also note Representative Clayman has joined us. You can proceed.
If you would, please refer to sectional analysis, House Bill 23. Section 1 deletes the word snowmobile from paragraph AS2810-421-D7 and leaves off-highway vehicles at the current $10 registration fee. Section 2 adds a new paragraph, AS2810-421-D26 in statute, and sets the biannual two-year snow machine registration fee at $20. Section 3 amends statute AS2839020E to set a six-year snowmobile registration fee at $50. The current statute reads, the fee shall be multiplied by 2 for a 4-year registration and multiplied by 3 for a 6-year registration. Mr. Chair, that's all I have for the specific language to and the intent of House Bill 23.
Thank you, Mr. Gamble. The sponsor statement here. Well, can you tell us the history of this fee structure? And I know there's been monies collected, and it's supposed to be to trails. And can you give us some background on that, Representative Newman or staff?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. In 1998, Senate Bill 231, which was actually by my former colleague, Representative Beverly Masick, introduced that. And it was to help promote the snow machine programs and trail safety out in rural Alaska and all around in Alaska. This is a voluntary program, Mr. Chair. I want to make sure that everybody's aware of that. It's all voluntary. This is a program that's fully supported by the members when they buy snow machine registration, and this bill simply would increase the registration fee, which was imposed in 1989, again, at $5 per snow machine per year, increase it to $10 per year, a double of that. And then we've also made the change again to, instead of just doing a 1 year, for the sake of DMV and the snow machiners, to be able to go 2, 4, 6 year program, respectively, with 10, 20, or $50. We wanted to go $50 on the 6 year to give a $10 rebate back to Alaskans, you know, to demonstrate that because it is less state services involved at that time and trips to DMV for everybody, that would be more economical and convenient. There has been work in the past by former director of parks, Benny Ellis on this, who went back and looked in other states. A program like that is actually used to incentivize funds like that. So we're proud to introduce this bill on behalf of a lot of the snow machine users, but also on the safety side of the world too, Mr. Chair. This is used by search and rescue folks going out there to try and find people who are lost on the trails in Alaska extensively also. So we're here to answer any further questions you may have.
One question of myself before we get to other committee members. When you say voluntary, that means paying the fee is voluntary or the allocation? So if I buy a snow machine and I'm the decision of whether to register it for a fee, that's entirely voluntary?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, yes, sir. You are correct, Mr. Chair, that the choice to register your snow machine or not is entirely voluntary, up to you, and it's not a mandatory program.
Okay, thank you. Questions from committee members. Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Newman and Mr. Gamble. I'm trying to figure out the fiscal note, the page 2 of 2 on the first fiscal note has a series of revenue scenarios, and I'm having a little trouble understanding how they're working. If you could walk us through that, I would appreciate that. Is it saying that if you offer a three-season fee structure, you will get less revenue? I mean, significantly less. I'm just trying to understand the revenue projections.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Drummond. Yes, and in looking at the fiscal note on this, it is a zero fiscal note as far as the state general fund cost is concerned. The fiscal note, I'm not quite sure what question you have on here. I'm trying to figure that out, but it does increase, again, the amount of money going out to the program. And, again, just to try and incentivize up to a six-year registration fee, again, the reduction down to $50 if that was your concern. And, again, working with former director of parks, Ben Ellis, on this, he thought that it would actually incentivize more money going into the program because people would do a six-year program for only $50 as opposed to losing that other additional $10 that you would lose if you were to do a full $30 for 6 years.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman?
Follow-up.
Okay, so the first line in each of the tables says there are 17,668 snow machines. And also, at some point, I'd love an explanation of snow machine versus snowmobile. And I did hear you say snow go at one point, but that's not has nothing to do with the revenue. So 17,668 snow machines are currently paying $10. Is that the number that so that's and over 2 years it's $88,000 per year. In two seasons, what happens to the 17,668 snow machines? There are only 5,665 estimated to pay over two seasons. I'm just having trouble understanding the revenue projections.
Through the chair.
Yes.
Representative Drummond, we don't have a copy of that fiscal note with us. We have a different one that has different information on it.
Okay. Let's see. It's fiscal note, OMB component number 2348, Department of Administration, the second page. There is a second one.
Here we have 3001.
Yeah, it's, I guess it's the revenue explanation as opposed to the cost to the department, which I understand is zero. That's a, that, yeah, that is a zero fiscal note. But this appears, this is the appropriation is in motor vehicles, and the allocation is in motor vehicles, so I assume that the fees collected are going to the motor vehicle department? Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, the registration fees are collected through the Department of Motor Vehicles, just like all vehicle registrations are. And so they collect the DMV. That money goes through an interoffice transfer, interagency receipt, program receipt funds over from the general fund budget, and it's funded over to the SnowTrack program from that, but is collected by DMV. I believe it is revenue neutral to them. In fact, all state costs are covered by this program also, including the Department of Natural Resources cost. I believe the last numbers I heard was about, like, for a half a position, almost $34,000 first comes off the top of this before anything goes to the program to make sure that all the state's covers are cost, but are covered, costs are covered, which includes like about a half a salary for that position. I believe that person administers four different meetings per year, one in person and the other three telephonically, but still they're covered like at $34,000, a half of your salary for that labor. And I think that that helps cover your cost. Other than that, I don't have another copy of the fiscal note, but we do have some other numbers that, okay, well, I'd be glad to take a look at.
Mr. Chairman, it appears to be in all of our packets.
I have it too.
Okay.
So,
And I'm just having a hard time understanding why with a current, with a one season fee, you're collecting X amount of dollars, and with a four season fee, you're collecting significantly less than that, about a third less, and therefore generating significantly less revenue. I'm just not understanding how you get to this revenue picture.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. We did not prepare the fiscal note. It was prepared by Office of Management and Budget, so maybe the administration could cover those costs. My first guess would be that is if, through the chair, would be that if they were already registered, there would be less registered via snow machines the next year. I don't know.
Okay, so I guess the question would be directed to the administration.
Yeah, and we might have to come back to this if we don't have
okay,
the answers
thank
right
you.
Now. And we have questions from committee members, Representative Klayman and Representative Rasmussen.
It's my impression that four-wheelers have to be registered, and it's a required registration. Am I right about that, or is that a voluntary registration?
Through the chair, Representative Klayman, I believe is fully voluntary, and those will not be adjusted with this bill.
And is there a reason, follow-up? Is there a reason why for four-wheelers and for snow machines there's not a mandatory registration requirement? There's probably history I'm just not familiar with, but the reason I ask is it just seems like I periodically hear issues with theft concerns both with four-wheelers and with snow machines, and it seems like registration would provide some significant benefits of, in terms of knowing what's out there. And
through the chair, Representative Klayman, I certainly understand the desire for folks to want to register their vehicles in case they are stolen and the ability for them to recover stolen property like that. I know that I do not, personally, I don't register my four-wheelers. All my snow machines are registered. Yeah, I know that if you were to use your vehicle on any state land or like in state parks, they are required to be registered. I don't normally do that with mine. All my snow machines are registered, and I don't take my four-wheelers through the park. So but other than that, it's all voluntary, I believe. But you may want to ask the department to verify that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My comment was actually in regards to Representative Drummond's question, and it appears that the numbers on the fiscal note are based on the number of vehicles or snow machines that would register for a two-year, a four-year, and a six-year, so it's not actually a decrease. It's just the number of those vehicles that are currently utilizing however many seasons they can purchase at one time, and there's fewer vehicles that are opting to do the six-year program, and that appears to be the decrease because it's just the difference of the $10 a year or I guess in this case it would be $10 less, but it's still a $5 increase per year. So it looks like it's declining, but it's just the number of vehicles I'm sure that they have on record.
Representative
Newman. Mr. Chair, I believe that Representative Rasmussen is correct on that. Looking at it again and analyzing it again for the first time, but it appears to me that she is correct that they estimate 17,600 would go for a 1 year, 5,665 would go for a 2 year program, and then the 4,994 would opt for a 5 year registration fee.
Thank you.
The department would have to do that, or 6 year, excuse me.
The 133 is the difference, is that what we're looking at? Additional revenue per year totals up to 133,000.
Based on the math,
based on the projections. And these are numbers that have already registered. These aren't total number of snow machines in the state. These are the ones that are currently registered in the program right now, correct?
I believe staff can tell you how many are currently registered.
Through the chair, that is correct.
Okay, thank you. Representative Story.
Yes, and I think one reason to register, obviously, is if you want to insure your vehicles, they need to be registered. And I know as owning three snow machines, we registered them for insurance purposes. So just to clarify, the additional money will be going, since it's a self-sustaining program, you said there were less fees coming in. And this money, it goes to taking care of the trails, or what does the money go to?
Through the chair, Representative Story, this is a way for snow machiners to cover all the costs of trail grooming out on the snow machine trails. And to do that, this legislation, again, was originally created in 1998 to do that. And so snow machiners tax themselves, basically, at a rate currently at $5 per year, and this would again increase it to multi-year options to be able to do that for the ease and the simplicity to the owners and to the state. But again, also to maintain funding out there for snow machine groomed trails. And if you'd like to maybe have me talk a little bit, the chair, on the value of having that, I think a lot of folks who want to testify today will certainly tell you about the value and why we would want to do that.
Yeah,
me having to do that.
And we do have all of our invited testimony is pretty much online, so we can open the phone lines here momentarily. Representative Rasmussen, I'd also like to recognize Representative Stutz has joined us at 1:22.
Thank you, Chair Wohl. I was curious if there's a provision, if somebody did opt to purchase a three-season registration, and on the middle of the second season they decided to sell their snow machine, is there transferability to the next owner, or would the next owner then have to repurchase an entire new registration?
To the chair, Representative Rasmussen, it's my belief that the snow machine registration follows the machine because the sticker is on the machine, although you would have to go to re-register it with the Department of Transportation to put it into your name.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to some invited testimony that we have, and they're online, it looks like. And I will just go in order as I see on the page. Victoria Gross from Wasilla, are you there?
Yes, this is Victoria.
Hi, could you state your name and present your testimony to the committee, please?
Certainly, Victoria Gross.
Any affiliation?
I live in Los Angeles.
Yep. Yeah. Go ahead.
The SnowTrack program is the only user-based, self-funded fee program in the whole state. We snow machiners realize that the program costs more to fund each year, which is why we're willing to double the amount we pay for DMV snowmobile registrations to add more revenue to continue to administer the program. The SnowTrack program pays for trail grooming that in turn enhances safe riding in areas that otherwise would be more dangerous to access. The groomed trails enable many small remote businesses along their corridor to survive during the winter months, as well as allow access to literally hundreds of recreational cabins. The money spent by riders on their machines, trucks and trailers to haul them, and fuel is significant and directly helps our economy. Winter tourism snowmobile excursions are becoming more popular each year, and this enterprise could be a growing revenue stream if we had reliably groomed trails. I am also, as an aside, I am also a search and rescue dog handler. My canine is avalanche certified. Being able to access certain areas, at least to the toe of an avalanche by snow machine on a trail, would be helpful if, you know, in getting help back there quicker. That's all I have right now.
Okay. Thank you, Vicki. Thanks for calling in. Just going to work up the... Steve Cleary, are you online? Can you state your name and your affiliation and present your testimony, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Steve Cleary. I'm the executive director of Alaska Trails. Alaska Trails is a statewide advocacy group promoting sustainable trails all across the state and all types of trails. And I wanted to call in today to voice our support for this program. It is unique and does really connect trail users in a way that they sought out many years ago to pay for the trails that they want to see maintained. And so since these fees haven't been upped in quite a while, I think this will be a great shot in the arm for an already great program. And as well, we really hope that it gets funded in the governor's operating budget as well. But if you go to the SnowTrack website, you see all the great trails really all across the state that get groomed. I've got most experience with ones in the Petersville Road area, but I was surprised to see that even down near Juno, there's grooming that's going on. And so it's a great program. It promotes a lot of safety, as you're going to hear from others as well. But the grooming, the signage, and the safety really comes together to get people out recreating in the wintertime. And one other important point we like to stress is that it's a great economic benefit for small communities to get people out there, get people using the trails, and then maybe stopping for a meal or a night's lodging and other economic activity that's a real shot in the arm in the wintertime. So I'm calling in today to voice our support for this bill and for the program in general, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for calling in. We have Michelle Stevens. Michelle, are you online?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Michelle. Could you state your name and your affiliation and present your testimony?
Sure. Hi, my name is Michelle Stevens, and I'm president of Petersville Community Nonprofit at Petersville, Alaska, in South Denali. I had a letter all written out, however, Representative Newman's sponsor letter and additional information that I'm sure you already have been very thorough, so I will not repeat that information. Petersville community and other communities that I represent are in favor of the fee increase. The fee has not been increased since inception in 1998. Over the past 20 years, the trails have increased from 200 miles to well over 1,000 miles. Cost of equipment and fuel has increased. More communities are applying for the grants. At the time the SnowTrack program was into play, snow machiners were proliferating for recreation, transportation, and subsistence use. There were very few marked or maintained trails. The consequences were high accident rates, lost snow machiners, which is a cost to the state of Alaska, winter conflicts among trail users, and conflicts with private property owners. The SnowTrack program has been a success. The communities who have received SnowTrack program funding have succeeded in achieving all the goals the SnowTrack program intended it to be. We have safety programs, maps, signs, and information about snow machines readily available. People are getting to their businesses and remote cabins safe. They are buying and hauling fuel and supplies. More land is being purchased, and cabins are being built because of the ease and safety of the trail systems being marked and groomed. snowmobilers spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in our economy, which otherwise would be slow. Winter tourism is on the rise because of the groomed trails, which provide responsible riding and safety. A study done by Earth Economics in 2015 found that for every $1 spent on our public open space in the Mat-Su borough, there is a $5.31 return on that investment. The groomed trails have helped considerably in keeping the cost to the state of Alaska search and rescue to a minimum. With signs, maps, and groomed trails, riders are less likely to get lost. This means the troopers are called out less, so the cost to the state of Alaska is less. The trail systems have been critical to first responders to get to the backcountry in an expedient manner, thus helping the victims sooner and less likely to suffer loss of life or limb. I have been involved in search and rescue since 1989 and have witnessed less rescues and more expedient care to victims. The trails are multi-use, so they benefit the following user groups: dog teams, snowmobilers, hikers, fat tire bikers, and skiers. I represent 16 clubs, 20 businesses, 39 lodges, 15 snow machine dealers, 10 dog machine races, including the Iditarod, 24 snow machine events, and more than 40,000 registered snow machine owners, and Petersville Nonprofit Corporation, which maintains one of the largest trail systems in the state of Alaska, which is 150 square miles. The Snow Track program benefits all Alaskans and anyone who wants to enjoy all that Alaska has to offer in the winter. The Snow Track saves lives, promotes safety, stimulates the economy, and creates jobs. Please support House Bill 23 so Alaska can be open for business in the winter.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks for your testimony. It looks like that's all the invited testimony that's that was invited that is here right now. We do have some public testimony, so I will open public testimony. And we have some people online, and I will start at the top, and I'm going to limit it to 3 minutes, if you can do it in 3 minutes or less. And Zach Russell, you're on the line.
Well, my name is Zach Russell. I reside up in the Denali borough. I was calling in to voice my support on House Bill 23. I run two small businesses up here, and one of them being a trail grooming business. I receive Snow Track funding for grooming the Denali Highway, and up here in, on the Cantwell side of the Denali, I do 123 miles of trail. Before I was grooming it with the snowcat up here, it was ungroomed. It was a rough trail. It was hard for people to be able to utilize it. There's lodges out there. The business owners were suffering, having rough, rough trails. It was hard for them to get their guests in, get the supplies in. It was hard to travel. Been grooming for a couple of years up here now, and it's great. It's huge. The impact is insane. People are driving all the way from Anchorage to Fairbanks to come here to snow machine, just like they are in Petersville and all over the state. We need to see the increase in the registration. I know personally, and when I applied for Snow Track, I am receiving the funding for this area. That puts a hit on everybody else that's been applying. So that one big pool is now getting split up more and more, as Michelle talked about, and Steve, you know, they've nailed it dead on. And just calling to voice my support, and let's see it go through. Hey, thanks for your time and listening to me. I'm just a guy. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Zach. Bye. Anytime. Thank you for calling in. We have Steve Charles from Willow. Steve, you on the line?
Yes, I am.
You want to start your testimony, please, and state your name and your affiliation.
Good afternoon, and thank you for allowing me to speak in support of House Bill 23. My name is Steve Charles. I'm from Willow, and I'm with the Willow Trail Committee. Our committee is a permanent committee within our community council, the Willow Area Community Organization. Winter trails are so important to the Willow community, it's difficult to imagine a world without them. I can't. One could reasonably claim, I think, that the main street of Willow in the winter is not the park's highway, but a 12-foot-wide signed, marked, and groomed winter trail from the Willow Community Center down long Crystal and Vera Lakes and out among hundreds of permanent and recreational homes, and it's also the route of the Iditarod restart. I'd like to tell you a little bit about our what our volunteers do in our community is in grooming trails. During the winter months, our volunteers spend at least 50 man-hours per week, probably a lot more than that, grooming 72 miles of our trails using a snowcat, four snow machines, pulling heavy compaction drags. Our other tasks coming from private donations include marking the trail with reflective markers every 40 yards and installing directional and safety signs. Because of the well-maintained trails, Willow is the venue for many snow machine-related events, all outdoor events, as Michelle mentioned, including this year's Iron Dog and the Iditarod restart and many races, and this is in 100 being one, another one. Our local businesses rely on the revenue from these events and from all the hundreds of weekend visitors who come to Willow to recreate during the winter. Without the grooming pool funding, as is the case with the governor's budget, or with the reduced funding, as the case is now with the low annual registration fees, and private donations will only allow minimal maintenance and safety will be compromised. And our local business will be affected as well. Trails will be extremely bumpy, which could cause a snow machine driver to lose control. And without the clear trail definition, snow machines can veer off course onto private land, open water, or overflow, or just get lost in flat-like conditions like they used to do before the grooming pool was in effect, and they did that a couple times every year in the Willow area. By restoring the funding and increasing the size of the pool, as HB 23 does, our capacity to provide safe and fun trails will grow. Our success can be replicated in many other communities. And since the fund is basically a user fee, the pool itself is self-supporting. For the individual snow machine owner, an increase from $5 to $10 annually is like 2 gallons of gas. And that's a small price to pay for safe and fun winter trails. So I encourage you to support House Bill 23, and thank you for listening.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for your testimony. Next, we have Freddie Pollard from Kenai. Freddie, could you state your name and your affiliation and present your testimony?
Yes, this is Freddie Pollard. I live in Kenai, Alaska, and I have a snow machine lodge up in Caribou Hills, and I belong to the Caribou Hills Cabin Hoppers Snow Machine Club. Basically, I'm just going to try not to ditto exactly what everybody else just said, but they pretty much covered the whole thing for us. I think we need to try to keep this these funds out available to grooming the trails because of safety and all of the things that we do in the hills. And there's also a lot of people that live up there. So the snow machines, a lot of people use snow machines rather than cars, at least to get down to the highway system. And, you know, just wanting to say that I think this grooming should be continued across the state because it's good for all Alaskans. So basically just supporting what everybody else has said. And I appreciate you guys looking at this, considering it, and trying to get it back to the snow track to where they can do their job of putting the money back out. Because it's not this money is funded from the registration of snow machines, so I think it should be there available to keep the trails where they are as far as groomed. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Freddie. Thanks for calling in. Next, we have Gary Anderson. Gary, if you could state your name and your affiliation and present your testimony.
Gary Anderson, and I live in the Caribou Hills, actually. And I just spent 10 years on that snow track advisory board with the state, so I pretty much know everything that everybody has just said is true, except for I've seen the money kind of dwindling down. And when I left, there were the 16 clubs that groomed and everything else were doing more with less money. And so, therefore, you know, I support wholeheartedly House Bill 23 to raise and increase that rate and whatever, except for the fact that I don't know if it should be voluntary. I think it should be mandatory. If you have a motorized vehicle, and like you say, you're on it, I think it should be. So, you know, we've had some safety issues up there. We've had to have the EMTs and whatever, and we take them in by snow machine. So the faster you can get to someone and get them out safely without beating them to death on the snow machine, the better it is. You know, signage, safety, everything that everybody has said so far is absolutely true. But like I said, you know, I've seen the money disappearing and dwindling down. And SnowTrack is an awesome board to have to distribute the money to the clubs. You know, they apply for a grant, you know, if they apply for the grant for $50,000 and they end up walking away with $20,000, they're still grateful, but they're, you understand what I'm saying, with about less money. Anyway, I said what I think I needed to say, and I sure appreciate everybody, Representative Newman and everybody that's involved in there. I appreciate your time and efforts. So thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Thanks for your testimony. Go to Ken Coleman in Kenai.
Yes, hello. My name is Ken Coleman, and I reside in Kenai, and I'm a member of the Caribou Hills Cabin Hopper Club as well. I actually do the coordination for the grooming up in the Caribou Hills. And the Caribou Hills is a vast area east of the Nilchik, south of Tusimena Lake, and just north of Homer. And there isn't a snow machine club just adjacent to us down in the Homer area. We have about 400 people in our club. We operate two large groomers, two large machines, typically referred to as snow cats, and we pull a couple of groomers along behind those, which are approximately 30 feet long, big steel groomers, and groom about a little over 117 miles of trails each week through voluntary effort. All of the folks, including those that sit on our board of directors, are all volunteers giving of their time for the betterment of our community. And we have, as everybody else has talked about, experienced a drop in the snow grant monies over the years since the winter 15-16 to winter 18-19. It's been just about exactly a 50% drop in funding. Some of that of which we can pick up through membership dues, but by and large, this monies are our lifeblood. Many other have talked about the trails have brought in many kinds of user groups. We've got obviously snow machine, but the 4x4s and ATVs side by side. You're now using our trails extensively. Skiers. Lots of cross-country skiers, fat-tire bicycle riders, runners. We had in coordination with the Snowmads from Homer, a 50K and 100K race, if you will, fat-tire bikers, runners, and skiers 2 weeks ago. It was just a wonderful thing, and none of that could have occurred without these flat trails and which were groomed. It was wonderful to see. And, of course, last but not least, the dog mushers. There are many dog mushers and people who reside on the Kenai use Caribou Hills as an exclusive area for training and their recreation. So we're hoping that you can see fit to pass this bill and fill a bucket, if you will, and it's a user fee. We all appreciate what you do. And I guess one last thought, if I could, and I think Mr. Anderson and Mr. Pollard knows before, we have a search and rescue baseline up at the Caribou Hills. We have a couple of first responders that live out there and respond to these critical moments where people are hurt or lost. And the value of having flat trails and signage and the ability to get somewhere and get back in a safe manner is in many cases life and death. And so I would appreciate you taking a good hard look at passing this through to the House and moving it along, and I appreciate all your time. Thanks a lot.
Thanks again for your testimony. Next, Susan Siebert.
Hello?
Hi, Susan. You there? You want to state your name, affiliation, and your testimony?
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to call in. My name is Susie Seibert. I own Gate Creek Cabins in Trefoil Creek, Alaska, better known as Petersville, Alaska. Petersville is known for our fantastic snow machining and groom trails. We cater to families at our facility. Our guests feel confident riding with their children because of our groom trail system. Groom trails provide safety and security for everyone, keeping those less experienced on the hard-packed trails. Having groom trails has cut down immensely on our search and rescue efforts. Search and rescue is expensive and exhausting. It is traumatic to families waiting to hear if we found their loved ones, and it is overwhelming to those who are searching, hoping to find a positive result. I'm calling today asking you to consider raising the registration fees for snow machines in Alaska as listed in House Bill 23. For as long as I can remember, the Petersville area has struggled to pay for grooming. Raising the registration fees would help pay for the grooming, making sure everyone gets to their destination safely. Please bear in mind, changing the registration fees as listed in House Bill 23 will only work if it's reinstated. Should the snow track fund not be reinstated, Alaskans as a whole, I believe in my ever so humble opinion, will not continue to register their machines. We all know the state does not have funds to enforce registrations. It's a lose-lose for both sides. I'm a small business, one of many in the area, trying to make a living, paying our bills and our fair share of taxes. If our businesses decline because we can't afford to groom our trails, so does the bed tax revenue we collect and pay to the Matanuska Borough. We'll be forced to lay employees off that count on us for jobs in our small community. It is imperative that SnowTrack be reinstated immediately for the safety of our community. Our groom trails allow people to get out and enjoy the outdoors, to unplug from electronics, and to reconnect with friends and families. Please help us keep Alaskans safe and employed. Raise the registration fee for snow machines and reinstate SnowTrack immediately. They go hand in hand. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, Susie. Next, we have Dan Mayfield.
Yes, hello. This is Dan Mayfield. I'm a Matsu Borough Assembly member. I'm also the co-chair of the SnowTrack. And just in full disclosure, I'm president of Big Lake Trails also. I represent Big Lake, Alaska, and Big Lake, as you may or may not know, is known as the year-round playground. I don't want it to become just a summer playground. In 2008, I and several founding members founded Big Lake Trails, and we did that for the purpose of
Dan, are you on?
Providing safe trails in the community.
Hey, Dan, can you hear me?
Yes.
Are you on a speakerphone by chance?
I am not.
Okay.
My cell phone, and I apologize. I'm in Washington, D.C.
Okay, it's a real long-distance call. Okay, that's fine. If you, maybe just a little slower and clearer because we're having a little bit of distortion here. Are you there? Well, I guess he's not here with us right now. Let's go to Kristen Rule Easton.
Yes.
Kristen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Can you say your name and affiliation and your testimony?
Sure. My name is Kristen Rule Eastham. I'm the president of SnowMass, which is a snow machine club based in Homer. And we have been involved in the trail game for quite a long time. And as far as snowmobile registration goes, we work hand in hand with the Caribou Hills Cabin Hoppers, as you've heard members of the Cabin Hoppers speak. We are that South Peninsula end of that gorgeous trail system. People can start on the Caribou or on the Nanilchik side and end up looking at the gorgeous end of Homer on our site. But in order for that to happen, we have to have safe groom trails. We Since we've instituted our groom trails, we also instituted a marking system for our groom trails, and that marking system has made it to where we have gone from an average of 3 to 4 search and rescues a year down to last year. We had 1 search and rescue, and that search and rescue was due to a snow machiner with a mechanical failure and not a snow machiner that was actually lost. So it is, you know, we have no problem seeing an increase in fees as far as snowmobile registration goes, and a lot of us highly support that. However, as many other people have said, increased snowmobile registration is going to go hand in hand with seeing SnowTrack reinstated. So I appreciate your guys' time and you being willing to listen to all of us talk about this over and over again. And you guys have a great day.
Thank you, Kristen. Thanks for calling in. That's the end of our public testimony, so I'll close public testimony. We did have another invited testifier, Lee Hart, who came back on, but now he's off again. So if Lee comes back, I'll bring him forward. We also have Ricky Geese in the room from Division of Parks and Outdoor Rec at DNR. And maybe if anyone has any questions, some questions did come up during testimony. Representative Newman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just in wrap up for my part here before we get to the Director of Parks.
Sure.
I was remiss in finishing the answer to Representative Drummond between the difference between a snow machine, a snow go, and a snowmobile. Just some local slang, I think, with the snow goers. Snow machine and snow go, my wife would tell you that a snow machine is used to make snow and they use it on the ski slopes, but, and then snow machines, but they're both almost all interchangeable in the state of Alaska. Mr. Chair, I was remiss also in pointing out the future of where this can go. You know, and it was mentioned in safety, and I think this is very important, so I want to take the time to do this, is I have been working with the Division of Land, Mining, and Water in the past to, if you look in your back of your pack, you'll have a lot of examples of what the maps look like if you were to go look at their map program. And now you can go all the way from Big Lake to all the way to Mount McKinley or Denali National Park on groomed trails. And because of enhanced 911 now in the triangulation of being able to locate search and rescue for people if their cell phone is on. And I came up off the trail one day and I had a phone call from the Alaska State Troopers on my phone. I didn't know it, but my emergency button had hit on my phone and I was out of cell phone service, got back in within cell phone service, and I was getting a call again from the troopers finding out if there was a problem with me. But again, working with parks, there's literally thousands of other trails out there. And trying to straighten out those trails to make sure we don't have conflicts with private owners, private landowners and such. They've been working on this issue, but they are at the point now, I think, where they have the technology. They could overlay all of those maps, trails, on top of these trails. And again, helping locate people who are lost in the triangulation with E911 is going to be a critical piece. And so what we talked about is if you had a map like this, you could put numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with different points of locations. It could be somebody's business, one of these lodges, in a chart on the back that would maybe the name of the lodge to help raise money to help for the program, but also again for emergency 911. We are now distributing this out of Big Lake in little plastic coated things or like this for all snow machiners to be able to take, and most snow machine groups have these available for all users. Thank you for your time, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing none, I guess I have some questions for Ricky, if you want to come up and absolutely.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Ricky Geese, the director of Alaska State Parks, and here to answer any questions or direct us in the right way to get the answers.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Geese? Representative Story?
Yes, thank you. I think I understand the increases to the registration for snow machines and off-road vehicles. I did hear people referring to the SnowTrack, reinstate the SnowTrack program. And could you clarify what that is about?
So, yeah, there's two different components. One is that what you're considering today is the registration fee, basically doubling it from, you know, $5 to $10 per year. The second component is authorizing the actual SnowTrack program, which is goes through DMV, and then monies get remitted to Division of Parks, and then we have a snow tracks committee where we evaluate proposals that come in to us. And currently, for the past period of time, what we've been doing is gathering up all the potential grant requests and then taking a percentage based on what funds are coming from DMV. So currently right now, that's about, you know, there's over $400,000 of potential projects to be done. And we've been giving, you know, a little less than $200,000 over the last 3-4 years.
Representative Story?
Yeah, follow up. So to reinstate that program, what is the cost for that?
To reinstate that program, that's something that needs to be that program was not reauthorized in the governor's budget, and so we would take legislative action by legislators to reintroduce that back into the legislative budget.
Follow up. And the fee for the fee, when they're just
the fee is going to be collected. It's just authorizing the snow tracks program as a receipt authority from DMV snow machine registration. The registration is going to be mandatory no matter what. You're still going to have to pay the fee. But compliance with that registration fee, if there's not a snow tracks program, may likely go down.
Are you?
Oh, thank you. I guess I wasn't clear. I was just wondering the fee, what the item cost was in the budget that was not funded.
There's not a cost to parks for that. If the program is not going to exist, then that cost will. I mean, there's a part administrative cost that's taken from the fees, but if that program doesn't exist, then we're not administering it.
Thank you.
Representative Stutes.
Thank you. To follow up on Representative Story's question, so is that program sunsetting? Or I understand that it's not in the governor's budget, but if it had not been included in the budget, would it continue on or would it be sunsetting?
Through the chair, Representative Stutes, yes, that program would continue on. I do not believe there was a sunset in that.
Follow up. So there is a potential that program could continue then at this point.
Correct. I believe that is accurate.
Thank you, through the chair.
If it's put back into the.
Thank you.
Follow up,
Representative Stutes.
But it's in the governor's proposed budget, correct?
No, that is not correct. It is not in the governor's proposed budget.
Okay, it is not in his proposed budget.
And that's what that's what some of the public comments were referring to, is the snow tracks program putting back into the budget.
Gotcha.
Through legislative action.
Thank you. Representative Drummond. Okay.
I just wanted to state. So has this program been returned to the budget by the budget subcommittee responsible for this budget area?
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, I don't know, but that's a good question to ask for. I'm not familiar if it has or not. I haven't been tracking it.
Yeah.
That would be good to know. I thought I saw the sponsor of the bill shaking his head no. So I think
it's my understanding that the program exists, however, it's not in the upcoming budget that the governor's proposed. That doesn't mean it won't be in the final budget. I've been getting letters about that STP, snow track program. I've been getting some letters about it for support of it and wanting it put back in. But what I understand, it's not a budgetary issue because the monies are already being collected. So it's sort of a $0 item. It's more of a title. And the admin is covered by DNR, it sounds like, or DMV. And I understand where we're going with this. So it sounds like it's a good program. It sounds like people support it. People are paying registration fees, but that may decline if they know that their fees aren't going towards a trail program. That's kind of what the takeaway from a lot of this is. Okay, but you do need legislative action at some point to reintroduce this program in whatever next year. So every year it has to be reintroduced in the budget in the past. Is that what's happened?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I can maybe take this one.
You sure?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. I believe your senses are correct. Because it is in statute, The laws are there to provide for this program to be there. It was not included in this governor's budget. Again, that's the governor's budget. The legislature, again, either approves, amends that budget. We have had conversations with folks in finance on both sides, in the Senate and the House. They have suggested to us that it was their intent to include funding mechanism in this, in their operating budgets or in their future budgets as they do come along. But thank you for your concern.
Thank you. The other question I had was about mandatory registration, because that's come up today. At one point it wasn't. Now I suppose it is. Maybe for new Mr. Geese, if you can comment on that.
Yes. According to the statute, yes, it is a mandatory registration. Compliance with mandatory
on
is a
both
difference
new story. And used vehicle.
Correct.
Like if I buy a vehicle correct. From Representative Newman and I take over the possession of that vehicle, I would be mandated to go and register it with the DMV. However, the enforcement of that is probably scant at the moment. But if I cared about my trails, I might be more inclined to register the snow machine.
Correct. Yeah. In Chapter 39, it's a 2839010 snow machine registration. You cannot operate a snow machine or snowmobile in the state unless the snowmobile has been registered and numbered as required by the chapter. So it is mandatory.
And what about four-wheelers? I'm getting mixed information on that. Is that I have a page here that says snowmobile or off-highway vehicle. So would a four-wheeler fall under off-highway vehicle? Representative Newman.
Chair, if I may maybe put some clarification on that. And again, I apologize to the committee for misspoken. It's been a long time since I bought a new snowmobile. But I believe that they are, according to this, mandatory registration at point of sale.
Okay.
So on a new machine, that way DMV also not has the registration, but they also have the VIN numbers of all machines, whether it be a four-wheeler or a snowmobile. In case they are lost, I would suspect that was probably the mandatory or the beginning reason. But if they're a used machine, simply it's all you have to do is go to DMV, have a letter from whoever you bought it from. Say, if I bought it from you, Mr. Chair, we just say, Adam will sold the snow machine to Mark Newman for, you don't even have to have a dollar amount on a date. Bring that to DMV, and DMV uses that as basically an obligation of a sale of the machine, or if you give it to somebody, you can do it a letter, and that's all you have to do.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Klayman looks like he has a question.
This reveals that I've never owned a snow machine or a four-wheeler in my life yet, but doesn't the DMV then issue a title for the snow machine in the same way that I have a title, hopefully, that I can find when I sell it for whatever cars I own?
Through the chair, Representative Klayman, I know I don't have a title for any of my machines, and I don't think they come with a new one. They may, other than just your snow machine actual registration and your titleship when you get your ownership of the machine, it might have something on there, but not that I'm aware of.
Okay, thank you.
Well, it sounds like these trails also, as one of the testifiers mentioned, is multi-use, fat tire bicycles, cross-country skiing, dog mushing, snow machiners, of course. And that was some of the communication I've received in my office was in support of the STP. Is there any other trail programs that are I have another question, actually. So, and you also answered it, but one of the callers, one of the testifiers mentioned using a snowcat. A groomer of his, it sounded like he was his own. So they apply for grant money and you grant them money to use their machine and do a certain number of miles, and that's in the proposal. Is that how that works?
That is correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
And are there other trail programs similar to this, or is this through your department?
There are other trail programs. There's the recreational trail program, Land Water Conservation Fund. There are different funds that do trails, but those are mainly non-motorized and motorized trails used during the summertime. This is the one targeting specifically winter use and snow. And snow grooming has kind of become the primary one because it's a, in addition to an access issue, it is a safety issue. And the grooming of the trails is paramount for, you've heard many different people talk about the safety concerns.
Thank you. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity. Just some additional information on that. The Outdoor Transportation Recreational Advisory Board, or TAB, the Director of Parks or their designee oversees that chairs and oversees that. Again, as the commissioner, the parks director stated, whether all your trails programs and money goes through that, we get some from DOT and stuff from highway taxes that go through there. And all trails programs go through the ORTAB board. Then Snowtrack is just one under that umbrella.
Okay, thank you.
And then companies who have a business, such as Mr. Mayfield or the other groomers out there, apply to this. They go, they testify at their yearly meeting, and they hack it all out.
And but as far as the registration fee for snowmobiles, that's the only source of funding for the STP program?
That is correct.
Okay. Any other questions from committee members? Seeing none, we will set this bill aside but get back to it. And as far as the legislative fix, that's a budget item that has to going to be taken up in finance, I imagine, at this
Thank
point.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. And I wouldn't mind maybe getting some clarification on the fiscal note in future meeting, because if, for example, if it's $170,000 is brought in, $176,000 at a $10 fee, then if it goes to 20, then you're gaining $176. But then at the end they say the net gain is $133, and I realize there's a discount of $10 for the 3 year as opposed to, but that's a $40,000 difference between, maybe these numbers can be flushed out a little bit more. I'm a little short of that right now. So, Representative Newman?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, for pointing that out. And that's been a topic of discussion, whether we do that, you know, and that's, again, part of the legislative process here, I think, as we continue to hear from members of the public how they think about this and working, again, with through this committee and through the process on how if we maybe want to look at that or adjust it.
Okay.
And we will try and go back and find the information that tells us that it,
yeah,
if you'd like.
I mean, I guess in the end, we're going from a $10 to a $20 fee, more or less. We're more or less doubling it. It will bring in more money. It's going to trail maintenance, and it sounds like people are very supportive of that. So I think that's the main takeaway. Any other questions or comments from committee members? Seeing none, I'd like to thank, Representative Tallarico.
I think just one thing as we move forward. I've been on a couple of these groomed trails, and it's just been my estimation to point out. I know that this helps pay for some of the costs, but the ones that I've actually been on, I'd like to point out, I think there's an army of enthusiasts that are volunteers out there that actually go way above and beyond what they actually get from the program. And there's a lot of private effort that's put in by the enthusiasts that go out there. So this does pay for some of it, but boy, if you ever get out on one of those groomed trails, you're gonna see some stuff out there and you're gonna think that possibly couldn't have been enough money to do right. What these people have done. And I've always been very impressed with people that utilize these trails. They put a lot of effort into it too to keep it really nice. Thanks,
Representative Tallarico. Seeing no more comments, that will conclude our meeting today. Thank you, Representative Newman, Mr. Gamble, Mr. Geese, and committee members. Our next meeting will be Thursday, March 28th, and at that, it's 2:08, and this meeting is adjourned.